New concerns about the stability of another country in the Middle East.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The protests have entered their 15th day in Egypt, but this morning some focus shifts to nearby Jordan. The rating agency Moody's has just downgraded the country's debt rating to negative. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is in Amman, Jordan, and she joins us now with more. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell us about Jordan's role in the changes that are happening in the region.
Well, for the U.S., Jordan is one of the most important allies in the region. We're already starting to see some signs of unrest here. There have been some protests. The king appointed a new prime minister last week in response to all this. I met with Nimr al-Assaf from the Islamic Action Front. That's the political arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. Just to clarify, the Muslim Brotherhood is legal here, not like in Egypt. It's really just the main opposition party.
There should be a transformation to democracy, real democracy in Jordan soon. And also in the economical way, we should first of all see the removal of those people who really sucked the blood of the Jordanians.
What he's talking about there is cleaning up corruption, but he and others are also demanding more economic opportunity more generally.
So a lot of the same issues that we saw in both Egypt and Tunisia. Elisa, are you seeing evidence there in Amman that the unrest could spread?
Absolutely. But there are some significant differences. Jordan is a much smaller country than Egypt. Where the Egyptians would really like to see Mubarak go, it seems like the Jordanians really don't want to depose the king. The other thing is the monarchy does seem to be paying attention to all this. Among other things, last week the king increased subsidies to the people, presumably to try to resolve some of their immediate money complaints.
All right. Marketplace's Elisa Roth in Amman, Jordan. And we'll be talking to you, Elisa, over the coming weeks. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
In Washington today, the Federal Communications Commission will consider an issue that affects every American's phone bill. There's a little fee on your bill that pays for phone service in rural parts of the country. Now, the FCC is thinking about using that money to pay for high-speed internet access in rural areas instead. Marketplace's David Gurra reports.
When Congress started the Universal Service Fund almost 15 years ago, we were using Prodigy and dial-up modems. To order clothes, we opened a mail-order catalog and called an 800 number. And that's why supporters say guaranteed landlines aren't as important to isolated Americans as high-speed internet access.
There's a real value to the entirety of the country being able to have significant, substantial, meaningful broadband connectivity.
Michael Romano is with the National Telecommunications Cooperative Association. That's a group that represents hundreds of small communications companies. He says they'd applaud a vote to reform the fund, reallocating resources from landlines to broadband. But Romano doesn't want the government to lose sight of why the fund got started in the first place.
We would like something that recognizes the fact that operating in rural areas is high cost.
In some corners of the country, it can cost up to $20,000 to get a house online. In Washington, I'm David Gurra for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in Europe and Asia right now. China announced today it is raising interest rates for the second time in 6 weeks to battle high inflation there. A Chinese economist said it's the first rate hike in the year of the rabbit, but it will not be the last. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 69 points to close at 12,161.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The German government is asking other European leaders to install deficit limits. Officials there would rather not pay for any future bailouts. As for the German people, many of them are ready to ditch the euro currency altogether. Kyle James has the story now from Berlin.
47-year-old Jörg Schulte isn't happy with the money in his wallet. It's not the amount, but the fact that they're not Deutschmarks.
Everything has gotten more expensive since we switched to the euro. And all the money we're giving to other countries like Greece, it just isn't right.
A lot of Germans don't like the fact that they're largely financing big bailouts for Greece and Ireland to keep those troubled economies afloat. Portugal and Spain could be next. All the economic turbulence has sparked worries about the euro's long-term stability. One survey found well over half of Germans think they'd be better off with a good old Deutschmark. Erwin Collier is an economist at Berlin's Free University.
Germans are never happy in a chaotic environment. They want to see order. Right now, they have that sense of things getting undone, coming out of control.
The opposition to the euro is getting louder. A recent book, Slamming the Euro, shot up the bestseller list. And Jürgen Elsässer, a journalist and author, is trying to build a grassroots movement to demand that Germany just say no to the common currency.
We are afraid of a breakdown of the eurozone, and we are looking for a way out of this mess.
It's not as if Germans are hunkered down, stuffing money in mattresses. The economy's booming now, and consumer spending is up slightly. But economists say dumping the euro would rock the confidence of the markets. Again, Erwin Collier.
The unwinding of such intricate relations can take time. And it's precisely such times that investors, consumers, decide to wait to let things sort out. They'll save rather than spend. So you could expect a serious recession.
German politicians appear to agree. Chancellor Angela Merkel said last month there would be no return to the Deutschmark, on her watch at least. In Berlin, I'm Kyle James for Marketplace.
And finally, the city of Cranston, Rhode Island, is home to about 80,000 people and almost 600 undocumented stop signs. Turns out the signs weren't erected according to the proper city code. So judges have been dismissing tickets for people who aren't stopping at the signs, which means less money for the cash-strapped city. Well, yesterday, the Cranston City Council Safety Committee voted to legalize the undocumented signs, even though I'm sure some residents would rather have the signs deported. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. On Twitter, at Jeremy Hobson, this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
You think you've got problems? Could be a lot worse.
I'm shattered. Like, my bottom five teeth got knocked out. They're like sitting in my throat. I can feel them. And my jaw has a big crack right here. And they put two plates and 12 screws in.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Just grin and bear it. How to handle pain, Freakonomic style. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.